coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. I'm coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter is on assignment. Corey Labounty, good morning, pal.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you on PSR, 52 weeks out of the year.
Let's go through some scores from last night, both local and around the state of Alabama. Try to get the local scores quickly, and then Corey, if you'll kind of give a couple of Thursday night scores, and then we'll hit the state scores as soon as possible. Last night, Baker 38, Murphy 20, Baldwin County 31, Robertsdale 8, Bayside Academy 55, St. Michael's 3, Cottage Hill 52, Choctaw County 6, Daphne 42, Gulf Shores 17, Jackson 21, Faith Academy 20. Boy, that was a big one. Mary Montgomery 28, Foley 14, McGill Tulin 53, Alma Bryant 15, Mobile Christian 48, Excel 14, Spanish Fort 19, Blount 7, St. Luke's 54, Alberta 7. I guess Kenny Chesney passed away last night. I don't know what's going on here. St. Luke's 54, Alberta 7, St. Paul's 49, BC Rain 0. Viger 39, Citronelle 0. Corey, I know Thursday night we had some scores as well. And UMS Wright 35, Escambia County 0, by the way.
Yeah, big time game at Ladd Peebles Stadium that the MCPSS covered. Al Whedon and myself. You had the number 6 team in 7A, the Theodore Bobcats, lose to the Davidson Warriors in overtime, 14-13, and that was really considered a shocker. And it was a matter of congratulations to Sean Smith and the Davidson Warriors. And I know an unfortunate accident or injury in that game. Coach Tyler Underwood, the quarterback from Theodore, fractured his fibula and will probably be out for the rest of the year for the Theodore Bobcats, probably in the third quarter. Made a difference in that game, but not making excuses. Davidson found a way to get it done, and they're going to have themselves in the playoffs. And also on Thursday night, you had LaFleur defeating Satsuma 22-14 on Thursday night, and Thursday night action also, Rick.
Well, that's a big win for Davidson, I can tell you that. And regardless of the situation, it's a huge, huge win for those guys there. Around the state of Alabama, Andalusia 49, W.S. Neal 7, Auburn 27, Prattville 10, Benjamin Russell 40, Calera 7, Carver Montgomery 26, Eufaula 6, Central Clay 42, Sylacauga 0. Here's a big one, Jamie Dubose, and they just keep getting better and better. And you know, the more we talk about it, Corey, I'm not surprised at all that Central Phoenix City is one of the forerunners for the 7A state championship. Central Phoenix City 49, Jeff Davis 0, Charles Henderson 34, Tallahassee 28 in overtime, Chilton County 28, Marbury 0, Clark County 48, Monroe County 0, Coosa Valley Academy 42, Emmanuel Christian 8, Elmore County 42, Dallas County 14, Escambia County 35, Lowndes Academy 12, Fairfield 37, Pleasant Grove 28, Fayette County 33, Haleyville 14, Flomaton 43, Thomasville 42 in a shootout last night, Florence 47, Grissom 14 for our Huntsville folks, Hanley of Roanoke 31, Leeds 7, Hewitt Trustful 45, Tuscaloosa County 14, Hillcrest Evergreen 34, Williamson 0, Hopeville 39, Talladega 19, Homewood 27, Carver Birmingham 13, Hoover 31, Vestavia Hills 14. That's a big game over the mountain in Birmingham. Josh Niblett's Hoover Bucks 31, Buddy Anderson's Vestavia Hills 14. Up around Lake Martin on the lake, 105.1, Horseshoe Bend 34, Fayetteville 13, Jackson Academy, 26. Abbeville Christian, 20. Jackson Olin, 22. Helena, 16. Jackson Olin continues to be one of the undefeated teams in the state of Alabama. Tim Vakakis, the brother of Jimmy Vakakis, two longtime coaches in the state of Alabama. The brothers there get a big win over Helena. Lafayette, 44. Central Coosa, 0. Leah Montgomery, 35. Enterprise, 28. Enterprise woes continue, and it's been a tough, tough year for the Wildcats down in the Wiregrass. Lincoln, 42. Childersburg, 8. Lochapoca, 26. Talladega County Central, 20. Macon East, 36. Northside Methodist, 25. Montgomery Academy, 43. Pike Road, 6. Montgomery Catholic, 27. T.R. Miller, 3. North Jackson. Now, Corey, one of the teams, and we're going to try to talk to Jay Cozio this morning, but one of the teams you better keep an eye on in 4A is North Jackson. They're averaging over 58 points a game, and they're beating people by an average of 35 points a game. So when when push comes to shove in 4A, you look at UMS Wright. Terry Curtis's Bulldogs have been doing pretty much that in South Alabama. North Jackson, Mark Rose up at North Jackson. You folks on the lake at Tallahassee, remember Mark Rose? Of course, he was a former head coach at Tallahassee. Former Auburn player, as a matter of fact. But Mark Rose has got a doggone good team up there at North Jackson. They beat West Morgan 69-6 last night. Opelika, 59. Stanhope Elmore, 21. Piedmont, 42. B.B. Comer, 0. B.B. Comer's ways still trying to find their way, but they're getting a little bit better each week. That last night, they just ran into a buzzsaw in Piedmont. Ramsey, 21. Briarwood, 7. Spain Park, 21. Oak Mountain, 0. St. James, Jimmy Perry and the guys at St. James, 42. Prattville Christian, 0. We'll have Mark Freeman on a little bit later this morning. Thompson, 31. Boy, they beat Chris Yeager's Mountain Brook Spartans last night like they owned them. Mountain Brook fell to Thompson last night, 31-7. Great win there for Mark Freeman and his Thompson team. Trinity, 36. Ashford, 27. Of course, we already said UMS Wright, 35. Escambia County, 0. Viger last night just continues to roll. Corey's pick to win the 6A state championship. Viger 5A, I'm sorry. Viger 39, Citronelle 0. Wetumpka 61, Selma 40, and finally Winterboro 34, Ragland 27. What stands out in those scores for you, Corey?
A couple of here locally and statewide as well. You look at Josh Niblett picking up career number 200 at Hoover High School, yeah. And that's big for Josh and his program. We know the success that Hoover has, but also last night at Spanish Fort, 19-7 winners over the Blount Leopards, and this area has so many great kickers, and Matthew Quinn, they call him Matty Ice. We had Coach Blackman on earlier in the year just praising his kicker, who's been kicking game winners since he was an eighth grader, kicks 4 field goals last night and helps the Toros overcome the Blount Leopards 19-7. And you look at Viger, another shutout for the Viger Wolves. They're won the third consecutive 5A Region 1 championship. That's very impressive. And then Coach Mark Freeman and the Thompson Warriors and Tulua Tagovailoa, they go in and defeat undefeated Mountain Brook. And like you said, not only did they defeat them, it was by 31-7. That's a huge margin. So just statewide and locally, some very interesting scores, Rick.
You know, we'll talk to Mark Freeman a little bit later on. When you think about the job that he's done at Thompson, now he went into a doormat. And that's exactly what it was. Thompson was not very good. They hadn't been successful. And two or three different coaches had been in there, and Mark goes in there. And I will say this about that, and this is something that, and we don't talk about this enough, but I talked to Bill Clark this week, and we were talking about some college stuff, and they played North Texas today in what should be a tremendous football game, North Texas and UAB. I think they kick at 6:30 tonight. But Bill was talking, and he said, you know, Rick, one of the things that's happened with Mark and those guys is kind of something similar to what's happened at North Texas. Their principal and everybody and the superintendent at Thompson has bought into that situation, and they're giving Mark everything he needs to be successful. Same thing going on at North Texas out there right now. Those guys are getting everything that they need. They've got an athletic director on the same page as a head football coach. And so when those two entities come together, that's exactly what's happened with Thompson. So everybody's working on the same page. And that's good for Mark, and that's good for those children at Thompson High School and the entire school, because everything's different when that when you see football winning and winning big like that, then the whole school's going to be just have a whole different culture to it. When we come back, we'll take your calls, and we'll also, Corey, who we got?
Steve Mask.
Steve Mask will be coming up. Big win last night over BC Rain, 49-0, and so we'll talk to Steve, and also got a kind of a sad note with one of Steve's dear friends there. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. All right, welcome back to PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and on Radio Alabama. I want to welcome our folks down in Sylacauga, Childersburg, Talladega, on the Big Yay 106.5, and also the lake, Alexander City, covering 43,000 acres of beautiful water there in Alexander City at Lake Martin. Good morning, Columbia, South Carolina, and good morning to Manhattan. Got a text this morning driving in, those guys listening, and So, good morning to you folks up there. Things in Mobile, Alabama are beautiful this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. And I'm sure for my dear friend Steve Mask, it's a little bit better Saturday morning this morning after a win. Congratulations, Coach. And I'm sure you got a lot of kids to play last night that certainly deserve to play. Those kids that practice every day and give you good looks in practice, I know it gives you an opportunity to play a lot of kids in a game you had like last night. We got Steve on. Yeah, now we do. Good morning, Steve. How you
morning,
doing, pal?
I heard what you said, and it was good to get a chance to play everybody. We've been through a little bit of a gauntlet the last 2 weeks prior to last night with the schedule we played. But yeah, it was nice to get a win and be able to do what we will do with all of our players.
You know, Steve, I want to say this before. I know Corey's got a lot of things he wants to ask you, but I know it's kind of a sad morning this morning for our buddy Stoney Shavers, of course, and a friend of both of ours, and much more so for you. And his son Barr plays for me on a little basketball team. But Stoney lost his dad this week, and what a man he was. And he could probably give you and I half a stroke on every hole and beat us on a golf course. But I know that's been a tough time for the Shavers family, and I know that as close as you are to Stoney and those folks, I know it's something that is near and dear to your heart as well, pal.
It does, and we visited the last night after the game. I came in and went over to the house. And like I do a lot on Friday nights after the game, to be honest with you, Rick, I go by Stoney's house and just to catch up on things. And, you know, just super family. I didn't know his dad very well. I've heard the reputation of his father. And the way I sort of gauge somebody, he must have been a great man the way his son turned out.
That's
so
true.
We're thinking about them, and they're doing well.
Coach Mask, again, you were able to win 49-0 over BC Rain. It was a road win, but you got started off real quick. You take the opening kickoff for a score to get on the right track and get things going. And that's the kind of – sometimes that's the boost that you need. You game plan all week, but when you start off very well and get the confidence going of your entire team, I know talked about that a little bit.
Well, it was, you know, Corey, it was just it was good, like I said, to get started that way. You know, let's be honest, you know, BC Rain's struggling a little bit, and you know, it's not taking away from their kids, they're just struggling, and we were a little bit more talented than they were, and the thing that I was pleased with, that I felt like all week in practice that we'd had a good week, and you know, we work on special teams like everybody else does, and so AJ made a great return, had some good blocking on it, and got us started off right.
I know when you take this win, you have the 24-hour rule, but you look at who's in front of you. You have two region opponents left. The first one in front of you is the Daphne Trojans, and they're fighting for their playoff life as well. And then you follow in your season there with Robertsdale. Talk to us about the Trojans and the week that's going to come in preparation, knowing what's at stake.
Well, you know, don't know a lot about Daphne, but we haven't played them since I've been here. I know traditionally they've always been a power in Baldwin County and Mobile County, and I'm sure they got, you know, got great athletes. Got the corn going to Alabama that we all hear about. But you know, very talented team, and we'll go to work with them. Work a little while this morning and try to enjoy the rest of the day with a big get some rest. But we're excited about playing Daphne and looking forward to come to Double E Delaney Stadium.
When you look at your team, I know you've had some injuries. I know a couple of weeks ago Bracy goes down, but you got Zach Gray back last night, and he was able to get into the end zone along with Javonte Graves-Billups. And A.J. Finley, again, returned that opening kickoff. I know you like that offensive spark and the enthusiasm that they have on the offensive side of the ball, as well as defensively holding them to a shutout.
Well, Zach back's huge. He came back a couple of weeks ago, and had him on a pitch count, and we played him pretty much on defense as a backup corner, but he's very explosive, and we made a decision last weekend to go ahead and insert him on offense in some certain sets, and give us a chance to have some more explosive plays. And Javonte's been there with us all year as a slot receiver, so those two give us a little more explosiveness on offense, and we're glad to have them with us.
Steve, you know, there's a lot of talk. The National Federation has been, and I try to keep up with this because it's something that affects all of us. National Federation is playing with some things about kickoffs and should we change kickoffs and do some things to try to prevent injuries. I'm kind of in the middle on all this, and of course, not coaching anymore actively. One of the things that concerns me, I think, as much as most of us, is the situation where injuries are highlighted much more now than they ever were in the past, and rightfully so, I'm sure. But where are you on us changing? To me, that just changes the whole game when we start messing with the kicking game, and I'm kind of in the middle on this. I don't know if we need to kind of, you know, mess with it a little bit and try to fix it a little, but is it broken? Is there something we need to do to change the kicking game a little bit to prevent more injuries?
Well, to be quite honest with you, Rick, you know, we're doing that now in middle school football and most JV games without kicking at all.
Yeah.
You know, they put that rule in. And that, to me, is, I like it in that level because those kids don't get a lot of work on it.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that JV kickoff team, and they kick it maybe once every 5 weeks in practice.
Right.
So I'd hate to see it eliminated all the way, but I tell you what you're seeing now in the upper classifications, you don't return them anyway. Everybody's got kickers that kick it in the end zone in high school. I do like the fact that in high school if it goes in the end zone instead.
Right.
I think that helps a lot, but I like the element of being able to onside kick and the pooch kick and do those kinds of things. So I'm like you a lot of ways. I don't think eliminating all the way is the right thing to do. You know, it is called football for a reason.
Yeah. You know, I'm like you on that, though, in the middle school. I've always thought that was a good rule. I liked it when we punt the ball. We just move the ball 30, 35 yards. I like that for the younger kids. So that's a good thing, and I agree with that. I really hope that we don't tweak the kickoffs in high school football. I just think it's still, I think it's one of the two, and I don't mean this wrong, but I think it's one of the two easiest ways to score. Now there's no easy way, but I think a punt return and a kickoff give us an opportunity to really highlight speed and things that we work on in practice. A lot of us work on it more than others work on it, but I just don't want to see that taken out of the game. I just think that this.
I totally agree with you, Rick. I think that's great points on both things. You know, there's nothing prettier than a kickoff that's been blocked correctly. Unless you're the one getting blocked.
Yeah, that's for sure, pal. Well, Steve, look, I hope you have a great day. Enjoy the victory. Hope you're able to sit down and visit with friends and maybe watch some college football today. But I'm
headed over to Stoney's house this afternoon to watch the Crimson Tide and enjoy a few Vittles. And you still say Vittles in Mobile?
Yeah, I guess you can. I understand.
Looking forward to the restful day and a quality, productive week.
Well, give old Barr a little pat on the back. He had a great little cross-country thing, and he made the middle school basketball team, so he's had a good week. So,
good day. Hey, y'all have a great day. I appreciate everything y'all do, pal.
Take care.
Thanks, Coach Mass.
We'll see you, Steve.
Right, bye-bye.
Good win for those guys last night. You know, it's tough on Rick Cawley, I'm sure, going from where he's been and being at BC Rain, and they're really in a down cycle. But it's still a great win for St. Paul's, and anytime they move up and they continue to win, that's a good win for them.
A battle, Rick. 6A Region 1 for the playoffs. I mean, St. Paul's and Daphne, to me, the winner is in, either in that third spot or fourth spot. So a lot of football left to be played in these last 2 weeks, and it's going to mean more to get into the playoffs.
Be back with more PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to PSR. Corey LeBounty, Rick Cleveland. Charlie's on the board, Phillip's on the phone. And, you know, you can text us at 251-343-0106 if you want to know a score, if there's anything you want to ask a question about high school sports, anything going on there. I know we got a lot of cross-country stuff going on, Pat Galley and those guys over at UMS, and I know the guys up at St. Paul's and McGill and all on Old Shell Road and all the public schools in Mobile County are all involved in cross-country. We got some swimming going on and volleyball as well. We're going to talk some volleyball a little bit later on this morning, but of course, football is in the forefront, and when you talk about some of the things, Corey, that are going on, one of the things I think that's really neat is coming up this Tuesday. Our good buddy Taylor Zarger, you can catch Taylor every single morning. He and Greg McElroy, I catch them as, and I probably shouldn't say this, but Dalt's not here, so it won't bother him. Catch Taylor and Greg McElroy every morning driving into school, and catch them on Channel 84 on XM Radio. And I can promise you, Taylor is, he's moved up way up the ladder as far as his broadcasting talents. We always knew what kind of talent Taylor had, and he just got the break that he deserved, and he's done such a great job with it. But Taylor will be in Mobile on Tuesday. Now, I'm not sure, Corey. I know Troy comes into Lad Peoples to play South Alabama Tuesday, and Taylor very well may be broadcasting that game.
Yeah, it's an ESPN broadcast. That's a special Tuesday night game.
I would think that Taylor would be broadcasting that game, but Taylor will be here for the Passion for Pritchard Prep. That'll be at the Steeple. Of course, the Steeple is the Inge family has opened the Steeple up, and it's just a great venue, and there's a fundraiser there, Passion for Pritchard Prep, and Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide football, will be there. Former Auburn head coach Tommy Tuberville will be there, as well as Lawyer Tillman. Can't help. What's the greatest? What play do you remember about with Lawyer Tillman?
That's going to be the reverse Alabama.
No doubt about it. Of course, former Theodore player. Former LaFleur player. Now he's got a son playing. Where is he? If I'm not mistaken, he may be at Theodore.
I'm not sure. I just know that Lawyer Tillman definitely prepped at LaFleur.
That'd be a good question. Tell you what, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines, and I don't know who we got here. Who we got?
That's going to be head coach Ernest Hill.
Well, my goodness, I apologize, Ernest. I didn't realize. I can't see the screen here, so it doesn't give us any information. You guys, of course, had a big win last night, Coach, and congratulations on a big win that you guys had last night. And I know that you're just hoping to get through every game now without any injuries, aren't you, pal?
Yes, sir. It's been a long season with injuries coming along, and just trying to stay healthy.
Big win last night over Alma Bryant, 53-15. Spencer Arsenault threw for 226 yards and 5 touchdowns. And it was a situation to where it was kind of that offensive jolt that I know you've been looking for. And anytime you're able to bounce back and have an opportunity to redeem yourselves, I know you guys had an excellent and outstanding week of practice, getting refocused, preparing for the Hurricanes.
I'm afraid we get him, we lose him. Ernest, you there? All right, well, let's just try to make do here. It sounded like he was on a sale and traveling, so maybe he'll call us back.
The good thing is that, you know, you look at the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets having their winning streak snapped by Theodore 1 week ago. It's kind of hard to bounce back. It can go one of two ways. Either you're going to truly be able to bounce back, or you're going to go and digress. And they were able to bounce back and have that huge win. And I know it's just what the doctor ordered for them offensively, because when you look at who they're going to be facing next week, they're going to travel to Baker, and then they're going to end the season against Fairhope. So we talked about the last two battles, the last 2 weeks battling for playoff position, and that's something that I know Ernest Hill wants to go ahead and clean up, push through next man up syndrome, and Spencer Arsenault was the next man up at the quarterback position, and they're continuing to do well.
You know, probably we hadn't said enough about Spencer Arsenault. We got him back on. Okay. Ernest, you back with us now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're having a hard time hearing you, pal, but tell you, we probably hadn't said enough about Spencer Arsenault, and I know that you've got a quarterback that's injured, and we don't know a whole lot about that, and that's probably better that we don't. But at the same time, Spencer threw for 226 yards last night, had 5 touchdowns, and you got to be proud of that little sophomore, especially on senior night when you're honoring your seniors, and Spencer steps up and throws for 226 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive, and it says a whole lot about that offensive line that's taking a lot of pride in protecting that young fella.
Yes, sir. I was very proud of him last night. But like you said, it started with the O-line, and we struggled, you know, this year with our O-line. But, you know, the past couple of games, they've been coming around. And, you know, with Spencer stepping in and throwing 5 touchdowns and leading that team to a victory, that was great for us.
No doubt about it. Anytime you can have an opportunity to get back on the winning side of things, we talked about it last week. The way that the focus that you were going to bring into practice this week was going to be instrumental. And knowing that this is a region game and seeing how things kind of shook themselves up on Thursday night with Davidson defeating Theodore, I know you had to say, look, guys, this is, you can't take any game for granted. And this is all about us getting better each and every week, but especially coming off that loss. What kind of focus did you guys have this week in practice?
Okay. You know, sometimes when you do live radio, you just stay come and go, and let's don't try to connect with him again. Let's just let that go. He's obviously in a tough area and probably traveling, so we'll get back with him again. And I know Ernest Hill has done a great job there, and anytime you replace a guy like Caleb Ross, who was ultra successful, it's always tough to follow Caleb Ross. But Ernest has certainly been done a yeoman's task in replacing him.
Well, now you look at the region standings in 7A Region 1. Of course, you have Theodore, and Theodore can clinch the region next week with the win. And even though they did lose to the Davidson Warriors, but you have that battle between McGill and Fairhope here in a couple of weeks. Just like last year, it came down to the last game between McGill and Fairhope to decide who was going to have that region title. So I know he's not looking past the Baker Hornets, because the Baker Hornets had a big win last night over the Murphy Panthers in a key region win. So they're traveling on the road next week to Baker, trying to take care of the Hornets, and it's always tough to go on the road and get yourself ready.
Well, there's no question about it. And a lot of people, you know, today, if you watch Sports Center, you watch whatever covering college football, you're going to hear people talking about, the commentators talking about home field advantage here, home field advantage there, teams are better than other teams, but they're having to play on the road, and it's such a huge advantage for those, you know, for those teams to have that home field advantage. The same thing applies in high school football, whether people realize it or not. And I don't think it's as much because of the number of people that are in the stands, but the familiarity that young players have in playing on their home turf is an advantage. And I think about some of the places around the state of Alabama that there's a huge advantage. First place I think of right now is Stanley Jensen Stadium in Prattville, one of the toughest places ever to go play. You go over into Wiregrass, you go to Enterprise. Boy, you're talking about a tough place to play. Going to Enterprise and trying to defeat the Wildcats is a tough place to play. You go into Dothan, also into Wiregrass. You play at Rip Hughes Stadium. You always feel like you're a touchdown down when you go into Rip Hughes Stadium to play either Dothan or Northview. And then when you go up into the Talladega, Sylacauga, Childersburg area, you go into Legion Stadium there in Sylacauga. It's always been a home field advantage for both Sylacauga and B.B. Comer to play in that stadium, and that was a big advantage there. Mark talks frequently about Alexander City and Benjamin Russell and the Russell Complex there in Alexander City, what an advantage that is. But I think probably one of the toughest places to play that I've ever coached in is right there in Birmingham over the mountain at Vestavia Hills, where Buddy Anderson and the Vestavia Hills Rebels have just had a tremendous, tremendous home field advantage for years and years and years because they packed that stadium and they're right on top of you, as a matter of fact, and it's just a great venue to play high school football in. You go to the Huntsville area, there's always been places in Huntsville, I know, that people, the city stadium there was kind of the home field for all of the teams there in Huntsville, and it was always tough for us in the South to go into Huntsville and to play in the stadium there in Huntsville. And I forget the name of the stadium in Huntsville right off the bat, but I'll think of it here momentarily. But I know a lot of times when we talked, Cole Kublik and I were talking about this not long ago. Cole grew up in Birmingham, played at Homewood High School. Of course, he's an ESPN guy now and covers the sideline. He and I did Sunbelt football together for about 5 years, and Cole used to say anytime we had to go to Huntsville to play in that stadium, it was always a huge disadvantage to us and a great advantage for the Huntsville team. So it's a lot of great places to play. But when you think about Mobile, Corey, what one stadium do you feel like is probably the biggest home field advantage for a local team?
I don't know if there's just one that I could pick out, because each and every Friday night, whether it's the fans, the alumni, the students, every game venue is special in and of its own way, because right. We have 1A through 7A football here, and of course your larger stadiums sometimes aren't filled to capacity, but yeah. Your smaller stadiums, your smaller schools, where they have to bring in maybe three sets of metal bleachers and only have on the visiting side a row of 10, that's it. It creates an environment in and of itself. I mean, you look at St. Luke's this year, having the home field advantage for the first time in school history, having an opportunity to play on their own home field. So, you know, that environment in and of itself is an intimate setting for high school football.
Right.
So it just depends. The bigger the venue doesn't necessarily mean the more exciting and raucous it's going to be. It's just, I think that every home field has its advantages.
Well, you know, if you talk to people throughout the state of Alabama, one of the great home fields is at UMS Wright. Cooper Stadium is just when you go in there and you see those columns, and it's just a great place to play, and it gives those kids at UMS a great deal of pride to walk on that field and know that they have a, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 point advantage playing on their home turf. Not to mention, go to Central of Phoenix City and play in Phoenix City in that area. That is a huge advantage for those guys, the Central of Phoenix City Red Devils. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, I got a chance last night, and I saw Bill Roth last night. Went to see the Four Tops and the Temptations. And I've been watching the Four Tops and the Temptations for years as they come into our area. Temptations are still I mean, Otis Williams, one of the original members of the Temptations, still going strong. And, you know, the Temps were great. Four Tops, I'm afraid they've seen their better days. It was a tough show for those guys last night, and it was a lot of fun. But at the same time, it was kind of sad to see the Four Tops, as they've seen their best days. And so, but the Temptations were fabulous, and the Four Tops were a little less than I had hoped to see. And I'm sure our buddy Bill Roth will share that sentiment with us later as we talk to him in the week. But, you know, Corey, I know that Future Ones has done some amazing things, and you guys are actively seeking other people, and you might want to talk to Mark Freeman about that too. That may be something Mark's interested in down the road. But tell us a little bit about Future One.
Yeah, Future One Scout Team Player of the Week from Mobile Christian this week was Huntley Hall. Huntley Hall is a linebacker. He's a junior and playing for Coach Cottrell and Gus Smith and Trent Massey at Future Ones. You can wear the Future interchangeable practice jerseys, football practice jerseys is how they got started, but now they've switched over to full game day apparel and practice and compression and uniforms. Can handle your basketball, softball, baseball, swimming, any type of athletic uniform or equipment that you need. Future Ones can provide that for you. You can look on our catalog at www.future, that's the number one, futureones.com, www.futureones.com, or you can find us on Twitter at Future Ones, also on Instagram at Future Ones. But congratulations to Huntley Hall, the Future One Scout Team Player of the Week from Mobile Christian. He's a junior linebacker.
You know, last night there was a huge game. I call it over the mountain football, having coached in that up in that scenario and understanding the culture of over the mountain football in Birmingham. But last night, Thompson Warriors defeated Mountain Brook last night 31-7. Of course, that's two buddies of mine that I think the world of course, Mark Freeman at Thompson and Chris Yeager over at Mountain Brook. But Mark, good morning, pal, and what's going on with you guys? You running the football like you throw it. That's a pretty good mix.
Good morning, Rick, Corey. It was that time of year, Rick. We were starting to see Vestavia and him at times drop 7, 8, 9, 10 guys on us, and you know, we just had to go to work, and these next 2 weeks we're going to dedicate to try to find a running game and try to get ourselves ready for the playoffs to be a little bit more balanced. Hope you guys are doing good, man.
Well, we're doing good, and appreciate you taking some time out. I know that you've kind of jumped into what I think is the best high school football in the state of Alabama right now, in that area that you guys are in. And, you know, Rush Probst is always talking about how strong they are over at over in Georgia and South Georgia. And I can tell you, those four or five teams that you have to play each and every week up there, you put those five with those teams over in South Georgia, that'd be one heck of a matchup. That'd kind of be a dream for me to let you four or five of you teams play those South Georgia teams. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, it's such a competitive region. I'm talking about from top to bottom.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily ever have a week where, you know, you said it's a region game, and it's going to be a week off, because everybody in the region really is really, there's good football and good coaching, and it's just a lot of fun. And we were fortunate last night to go in there and beat a really good team. I thought that they had done a great job all year, and they beat Trustful last week. I'm sitting here working on this morning, but I'm going to tell you, Rick, it's a lot of fun.
You know, and we're talking to Mark Freeman, head football coach at Thompson High School, just a little bit south of Birmingham. And, you know, Mark, I was talking to Bill Clark this week, and we were talking about, North Texas comes in there tonight, and they got a huge game, Bill does, up there at 6:30 tonight. And we were talking about why North Texas had kind of turned the corner. Bill made the comment, he said, Rick, it'd be like you and I coaching, or you being the athletic director and me being the head coach, we're both on the same page. And that's pretty much what's going on at North Texas. They're all bought into the same program. But I don't think there's any better situation than what you've got at Thompson, because of course your superintendent, your principal, your athletic director, well, you guys are all on the same page when it comes to athletics and academics.
Well, it's a blessing, and it is. And Dr. Vickers, of course, goes all the way back to starting Sarah Lynn's school system, and then he moved up here and obviously started Alabaster City Schools, and he is a great person to have there, working with you and above you and trying to make everybody around you successful. And we've got a great principal, Dr. Wesley Hester, and it is, I mean, they really support what we're trying to do. And you know, Rick, you've been in this, and the more those guys try to support you, the more that your kids and your coaches try to support them. It's a give and take situation, and that's what we're really blessed with right now, is that as hard as it is to maintain a winning program right now in high school football, that we're able to be supported by the guys above us. And like I said, our football players are really active in things in our school and in community. And, you know, you feel like you're getting, you feel like when you put into something, you just want a little bit to have a chance when you put into it to see it come to fulfillment. And that's the thing right now, is that it seems everybody around us and our program, top to bottom, is pulling the same direction.
Coach, we have about 1 minute left with you here on Prep Sports Report. I know you guys host Hewitt Trustville next week, and there's a weird scenario out there that Thompson, if the Warriors beat Hewitt Trustville and Mountain Brook beats Hoover, Thompson can be the number one overall seed. And I know you won the region last year, and it's very important to you from a seeding standpoint. But again, congratulations on such a great season thus far, and look forward to you making the push down these last couple of games.
Thank you, Corey. And like I said, the big key is getting in the playoffs. And as long as we can get in, then we're going to play four games as hard as we can play them and do what we can to be successful.
Hey, Mark, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. And I can't pronounce his name. I've been trying.
Tagovailoa.
What a gem you've got there. But can this kid go in and compete with his brother? I mean, is that a viable situation where he can go in and compete with his brother?
Well, I think Tua's playing such a level right now, it'd be hard for anybody to go and compete. I think down the road, Talia is going to be a very good quarterback, and a lot of the same attributes you see Tua, Talia possesses them. And right now, I don't think there's anybody that's playing at the level Tua is, but I absolutely, Rick, Talia's a special guy, and he works hard, and he's gonna have a big career ahead of him, as well as his brother.
Mark, thanks a bunch, pal. Thank you for what you stand for, and thank you for putting God first and putting that in your program. And I know that's a huge thing for you. We appreciate you, pal.
It is, man. You guys be blessed. Talk to y'all later.
Take care.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it very much.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labonte.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile. Corey Labonte. Mark Lasseter's on assignment this Saturday, and we have covered most of the scores around the state of Alabama, and we'll do a little bit more of that in just a minute. But been wanting to get Jay Cozio on here for a long time and just hadn't had a chance to catch up with him, even though I'm 5 minutes away from him every day. But Jay is I hate to say he took somebody's place, because he didn't have to take anybody's place. He stands on his own merits. He's a heck of a football coach, and of course Don Jennings was a defensive coordinator at UMS Wright for a long, long time. Spent a lot of time with Terry Curtis, and it didn't take Terry long when Don decided that it was time for him to step away and do some things in retirement for Terry to kind of handpicked Jay Cozio, and what a great choice it was to bring Jay in to run the defense there at UMS. And we're going to take a little bit of Jay's time away from him this morning. I know he's somewhere over west of Mobile, but good morning, Jay. How you doing, pal?
I'm well, Coach. How are you?
I'm good, and good. Thank you for taking some time out. And I'm glad I didn't have to call.
I didn't, appreciate you having me on.
Well, I didn't. I'm glad I didn't have to call the missus to pull your hand at all. So,
good morning, Corey. How are you?
Good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
You guys get another win last night and another shutout. I think you've only had 21 points scored on you, and I think one of those was on a kickoff return, wasn't it, Jay? But
Yes, it was. From Mobile Christian.
Yeah, you guys are playing mighty good. Talk just a little bit about that defense and some of those kids on there that I know you want to recognize.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure to be and really an honor to work at UMS Wright. I certainly appreciate the opportunity that Coach Curtis has given me. And, you know, we work with some great coaches as well. I do want to mention them. Emmanuel King does a great job with our defensive front. Erling Reese coaches our inside linebackers. We hired David Peebles this summer from Cottage Hill. He's working with the secondary. He's doing a phenomenal job with those players. And then Eddie Roy Roberts coaches our outside linebackers. And, you know, I'm kind of eyes over all of it, but we work extremely well together. They do a great job with their players, and I think the results are showing up. So, you know, we had a good win last night. Atmore is a much-improved team. They gave us some trouble early in the game. You know, they kind of pushed us around a little bit, which was a little bit frustrating, but we settled in. We played a lot better in the second half. And you know, these guys have just they genuinely like each other, and you see them at school hanging out together. You see them sitting together all the time. You see them at pep rallies together, at practice. You know, when they're not working, they're enjoying each other. When they're on the field practicing, they work extremely hard and they have fun. And I just think that carries over onto the field on Friday night.
Coach Cozio, you're looking at a challenge that's in front of you. I'm kind of going to the history books a little bit. The 1987 UMS Wright State Championship football team was 15-0, and they only gave up 58 points the entire season. The entire season, that 87 team gave up 58 points. Now, right now, you guys have only given up 21. You play this coming Friday, and then you have an open week going into the playoffs. Of course, you want to run that gamut in playoffs and go as deep as you can and finish the year at Jordan-Hare. What kind of challenge does that present to you, and were you aware that you guys have an opportunity to make school history as UMS Wright has a historic tradition, I think celebrating 125 years this year?
Well, I was not aware of that. You know, I'm awfully proud of what these guys have done up to this point, and they should be as well. You know, but realistically, we have a lot of football left ahead of us. So, you know, we take pride in the fact where we're at and what we're doing. However, we just try and challenge them week by week. You know, we study our opponents. Those guys, our players, do a good job with, watching film, listening to what we're telling them, trying to be in the right place. We're just trying to get them in the right spot and let them make plays. You know, we've done that so far. But we've got a lot of football left in front of us. We've got areas that we need to improve on. We've got some guys injured and banged up. And that affects our play as a unit. We got to get some of these guys healthy, rested, and then ready for this playoff push.
Five shutouts is very impressive in any classification. Again, Coach Cozio, you've done a wonderful job. I know Jeb Barber got another interception last night, and that's big. But anytime you can have a shutout and you're making substitutions to where guys who normally don't start the game get into the game and take as much pride in holding on to that shutout as the first-string defense does. I know every day in practice trying to get Simon Smith and Edwin White down to the ground is tough enough. So those offensive guys definitely make your defensive guys a lot better also.
Yes, they do, absolutely. And speaking on Jeb played a great game last night. I do want to give a shout out to Jeb. He played outstanding. He had several tackles, you know, big interception that right before halftime that kind of killed one of their drives because they had some momentum going. They just hit a third down play. But Jeb played really well. We have four seniors on defense. Jeb Barber's one. Cole Owen is another. Cole's playing extremely well for us. Tyler Irvin plays middle linebacker. And then Conrad Inge is our four senior. Those guys deserve a lot of credit because, really, even last week when we were playing Monroe, we got them out in the third quarter, and you know they were up on the sidelines encouraging the younger guys that are out there playing. You know, third down was what we call money down, and they were up behind me. I could hear them screaming, money down, money down, money down, and trying to get those guys fired up about getting off the field. And then there was a play late in the game where one of our outside linebackers, Todd Morgan, had stripped the ball, and it landed into our free safety, Phillip Hunt's hands, who's a freshman. And Phillip's probably 135 pounds, and the ball landed in his arms, and he started running down our sideline. And he was going 70 yards for a touchdown, but you could see the older guys on the sideline on the film just chasing him and running with him and putting their hands up in the air and encouraging him and celebrating with him while he had his moment of glory.
That's pretty neat to see that right there. That really is neat. You know, you got a young junior on that football team that I think is as good a player as we've had there in a long time, and Will Breland.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's just, when you think about expectations, you look at him as a middle school player, and then you watch him now, and the improvement he's made is really phenomenal. And he's one of those guys that he finds football, Jake.
Yeah, Will has a unique ability, you know, to, like you said, Coach, to get to the ball and get off blocks and, set up blocks to avoid blockers. And, I mean, the first, you know, early in the year we thought our first six games were like, you know, dynamite teams coming out here. And to me, Will was the best player on the field those six games. I mean, I'm not talking about us offensively, but when another team had the ball and we were playing defense, I thought 25 was the best player on the field in all those games. And like you said, Coach, he has a unique gift. He can read plays. He figures out, decipher stuff in an instant, and he knows where to go, and he knows how to get there. And, you know, a lot of kids don't understand how to get to the ball, and Will has that ability to run right into it. So we're awful proud of him.
Yeah, and Mark and I talk a lot about pursuit angles on here, and he just comes by.
Right.
It's almost natural to him. It's amazing to watch you play.
It really is. He understands his leverage. He understands where his help's at. He knows sometimes where to spill the ball. He's an excellent blitzer. I mean, any time that we need a play defensively, I'm going to send 25 after that quarterback, and there's a good chance he's going to get there. Makes me a good coach, right?
That's
coach?
Right. There you go. That's exactly right. Well, and I think that you're going to be a part of history. I think a little later on this year, I think Terry will probably win his 300th game, and that'll be something that I know you're mighty proud to be a part of, and I echo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, Coach and I go way back. When I was at Robertsdale in 1999, 2000, he called me, and you know, we started playing UMS, and we played for about 6 years. But ever since then, I've always looked up to Coach Curtis. He's been a mentor of mine, and, you know, I would call him on the weekends and get some things off my chest and ask for his advice and things like that. We've just had a really close friendship off the field for probably 18, 19, 20 years now. So very blessed, and I'm glad to be a part of this staff.
You know, Jay, let me give you this score. I didn't know if you got it from North Alabama. You and I were talking about this earlier this week.
Right.
North Jackson 69, West Morgan 6. So
that's about what they've been doing from what I'm reading.
Yep.
You know, so,
hey, thanks for being with us, pal. Take care.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for calling me. I appreciate it.
Enjoy your
weekend. Have a great
week. You too. We'll be back with more PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Back in high school.
Hi, welcome back to PSR. A couple of programming notes. Of course, the Auburn pregame show will follow us immediately here on FM Talk 106.5 coming out of Mobile. Then tomorrow from 11 to 1, you can catch our good buddy Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey on Southern Fairways. Best golf show in the Southeast, I can promise you. From 11 to 1 tomorrow, that's Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey on Southern Fairways. And then Monday night, from 7 to 8. You can catch our buddy Corey LeBounty and Dalt Orig as they cover college football, NFL football, and more. They're fixing to start covering college basketball here pretty soon, and that's going to be something you'll want to pay close attention to. Sports Night, Mondays from 7 to 8. I want to thank our good buddies at Alpha. Boy, we really appreciate Lee Camilleri, Beth Burr, and Earl McKinnell, all that Alpha does for us here at PSR. If you're looking for a place to watch college football today, especially SEC football, you want to go to Janino's Pizza right there. SEC Saturday right there in Daphne. Fred and all the guys there, they'll have every pizza you can imagine, and that is something that you will love to do. Sit there with your family or friends and enjoy Janino's Pizza. Of course, our prayers continue to go out for the folks in Mexico Beach, Cape San Blas. Of course, our buddies at Port St. Joe High School and all of our friends in Panama City. Remember, our prayers are with you and hope that things are getting better for you folks there. Let's give you a few scores from over west of us here over in the Biloxi area. Last night, Biloxi defeated Pascagoula 14-10, St. Stanislaus 29, Moss Point 11, Gulfport 28, D'Iberville 21, and St. Martin fell last night to Ocean Springs. Ocean Springs 28, St. Martin 19.
Also locally, Spanish Fort defeated Blount 19-7. On Thursday night, LaFleur defeated Satsuma 22-14. Daphne defeated Gulf Shores 42-17. Mobile Christian defeated XL 48-14. Baldwin County beat Robbinsdale 31-8. Vigor shuts out Centronelle 39-0. Hillcrest Jaguars beat Williamson 34-0. Coach Cleveland gave you those Mississippi scores. McGill Tulin defeats Alma Bryant 53-15. In Jackson, squeaks by Faith Academy 21-20. UMS Wright blanks Escambia County 35-0. Cottage Hill Christian defeats Choctaw County 52-6. Baker beats Murphy 38-20. And Southern Choctaw defeats Chickasaw 42-7. MGM over Foley 28-14. And St. Paul shuts out BC Rain 49-0.
You know, Corey, I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about volleyball because football seems to be what everybody wants to hear about. But I'm going to tell you, we got some really, really good volleyball teams in the Metro Mobile area and throughout Southeast Alabama and Southwest Alabama as well. I know one of the volleyball coaches here just won her 400th game. That's got to be something that is mighty, mighty impressive to not only to the other coaches in the area, but to those players that are fortunate enough to play for her.
Yeah, Jennifer Newton did secure her 400th win. She won her area and will host the area tournament starting on Monday. Coach Newton, thank you for joining us on the Prep Sports Report this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coach, I know it, you know, Cottage Hill Christian Academy, it's faith, family, and your future. And in that situation, talk to us about your Lady Warriors and what they've been able to accomplish between those lines in the on the volleyball court.
Well, you're right, faith, family, future. That is what we're all about. And, you know, when you talk about getting 400 wins, I've been at Cottage Hill for 16 years now. And, yes, that's certainly a milestone in a coach's career, but I think it's a direct reflection on the quality of players that have come through the program and the legacy that they have left and what it means to wear the Warrior jersey. So, this season I've got a young team with just one senior. We've certainly had some highs and lows as we've struggled through some injuries. But like you said, we clinched the area title. We're looking forward to hosting the area tournament and, hopefully having a little success in the postseason.
Only having that one senior, talk to us about her and the leadership that she provides to you and the push that I guess your underclassmen and your juniors are going to give you here moving forward.
That's right. I do. My one senior is Eliza Carpenter. She plays outside hitter for us. In fact, she plays all the way around. And she is by far our on-the-court leader and motivator. Without her at practice, pushing everybody every day, we might not be looking at having a good postseason. So we're certainly thankful for Eliza and her leadership. I do have some big-time juniors who have really stepped up this season. Ann Swearingen comes to mind. She's my setter. she has been solid as a rock, and just really productive, yes, in her skill and what she gives us on the court, but in her leadership as well.
Coach, when you talk about hosting the area tournament, what does it mean to host the area tournament in girls volleyball, the type of support that you have from your home team fans, and then as well as moving forward, what's the next step beyond the area tournament in volleyball?
Sure. Well, we are super excited to be hosting on Monday. This will be our first time to be able to host the area tournament since back in 2011 was our last time. So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to having a bunch of fans there to cheer us on at 5:30 on Monday. And that will push us to the Super Regional round. That's next Thursday in Montgomery at the Crampton Bowl Multiplex. And hopefully we'll pick up a couple of wins. And, you know, our goal is always to finish the season in Birmingham in the Elite Eight. And so we'll be working really hard to make that happen.
Coach Jennifer Newton, again, won her 400th game at Cottage Hill this past year and is getting ready to start area play. Encourage everyone to come out Monday night like she just mentioned. And, Coach, give the time and the place again that you'll be hosting this area tournament starting on Monday.
Sure. It is actually at our high school campus on Creekwood Drive. The first game is at 4:30. We'll play the winner of Alberta and Chickasaw right after that at 5:30 Monday night.
And, you know, I know you had an opportunity to see that football game last night. The guys continue to roll. They won 52-6 and have off to the best start in school history. So congratulations to Coach Brazil and those Warriors. But what kind of excitement does that add to your school when you're hosting a volleyball tournament? You have a football team who's undefeated, ranked number 4, and basketball season and practice is getting ready to start also.
Right, it is. I'm telling you, this has been a very exciting fall on campus for all of our students. You know, the stands are packed on Friday night. You know, pep rallies have never been more exciting. There's just a lot of excitement in the Warrior family this season. And I'm so thankful for Coach Brazil and the huge impact he's had on our football team. And as our athletic director, the leadership that he provides for all of our sports. That really means a lot.
Jennifer, thank you for taking some time out on Saturday morning and a little bit of time that you have. We appreciate you taking time out. Please say hello to our good buddy Jimmy Messer, too. What a gem you have there in him as well.
Absolutely will. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Rick, I'm going to show a little bit of love to a middle school team. The Mobile County Public School System had their middle school football championships. Head coach Sam Shelton had an opportunity to lead Hankins Middle School to an undefeated season, their first undefeated in that school's history. Coach Shelton's been around for a while. He's one of those coaches who, in talking to him this past week at the Creighton Optimist Club banquet, he's coached 3 first-round NFL draft picks. Not too many coaches in middle school, high school, park ball can say that. So congratulations again to Hankins Middle School and Coach Sam Shelton for winning the Mobile County Public School System Middle School Championship.
Sam Shelton was formerly the head coach at Satsuma, if I'm not mistaken.
He was out there for a while, and I know he won many and multiple championships at Chestang Middle School and is now at Hankins, so congratulations to him.
Well, he sure has done a great job, especially in middle school football. He's been tough to beat, and not many people have beat him. Congratulations on another city championship there for those guys there. Sam Shelton's done a great job. We're going to get to Scooter after the break, and Scooter, just sit tight, buddy. We'll check with you in just a minute. We'll be back with more PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama. But sad note here. Doug Amos, Michael Butler, and myself Oh, golly. 17, 18 years ago, we got started doing a radio show out of Tallahassee. Of course, Doug does a great show along with Charlie Trotman there in Montgomery. Michael still at WTLS right there in Tallahassee. And got word this week that one of Doug's dear, dear friends, a young man by the name of Mark Corson, who was a fellow baseball umpire of ours, umpired a lot of college baseball with Mark, former catcher at Faulkner University, and just an outstanding athlete, but a Christ-centered man who, boy, just had an amazing family. Mark passed away this week, and of course, our sympathy goes out to not only Mark's family, his brother Lee, but we especially express our heartfelt emotions to Doug Amos, dear, dear friend of Mark's, and we certainly hope that God's grace will sustain Mark's family during this very difficult time. I know, Corey, we've got a huge basketball clinic coming up this week. I know that Ronnie Era and some of the guys have really worked hard to get this thing going, and I know that Joe Nyland is an integral part of that, a huge part of that, and it's just great to get Joe on with us. We don't get him on as nearly as much as we should. He's a guy that does a whole lot out at the university, and we certainly appreciate everything that he's done for not only for college basketball in Mobile, but for what he does for so many other people, and it's just a joy to have him on, Corey.
Coach Nyland, thanks for joining us on the Prep Sports Report this morning. And the 2018 Basketball Coaches Clinic and Membership Drive will be next Saturday, October 27th, at the University of South Alabama. It's for all basketball coaches. It's the Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches. Talk to us a little bit about what it is.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Rick, Mark, good morning. Really enjoy what you guys do. When I'm driving in the car in the morning, you update me on sports, since we don't get a lot of coverage, especially high school wise, from the newspaper or lack of newspaper.
There you go.
You know, Rick, us old guys, we want a paper in our hands.
There ain't no doubt, Coach. it's hard to turn that computer on. It's hard to turn that computer on every morning. It sure is, Coach.
Well, first of all, we're starting the Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches, much like baseball has one and football has one. We're trying to work with associations at all levels, from upward, CYO, on up to Division I basketball, high school, AISA, junior college. We want to promote the game statewide and try to promote coaches and players and grow the game. The report came out here locally by the Aspen Institute, which was studying sports here locally in Mobile County, and basketball is the number one participated sport among youth. And, you know, sometimes we get overshadowed a little bit, but we're trying to grow the game. I always say I think football and baseball are coached better at the younger levels than basketball, and we want to try to improve the game actually from the foundation to grassroots up, and we think this association will help do it by unifying coaches statewide, and this clinic's a prime example. We just started about 2 months ago. We're able to put together a great clinic, and it's for all coaches. And Joe Champy, who's a longtime Auburn women's coach, is coming in, and he's actually in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. We got Sonny Smith, the legendary Auburn men's coach, and Richie Riley's going to show us how to walk through, how he does his walk through. We're going to watch that at South Alabama. Jerry Dunn, former Penn State head coach, now the head coach at Tuskegee, and of course Coach Arrow, longtime South Alabama coach. But for $25, it's an unbelievable clinic, and we just want to encourage coaches to come on out.
What time does that start? And again, it's located at the Mitchell Center. Registration will start at what time?
It starts at 8 a.m. registration. Clinic will start about 8:30 with Coach Arrow, and it'll run through about 2:30, 2:40. Coach Smith will wind it up, and then any coach that comes to the clinic, it's two free passes to the Jag game that afternoon at 4. The Jags play Tuskegee. And the first 100 coaches get a free box lunch sponsored by Covington Floors, Jay Henley. And then also any coaches that coach sixth grade or under, they will get vouchers for their teams to come to the South Alabama game that afternoon. So a lot of positive things come out of going to the clinic. Plus, it grows your knowledge in basketball. And, you know, even at the college level, us coaches are always going to clinics and doing things to improve our knowledge. And we wanted to put this on. The next one will be in Birmingham.
It's the 2018 Basketball Coaches Clinic and Membership Drive next Saturday, October 27th, at the Mitchell Center. Again, you mentioned the speakers, Joe Champy. He's a Women's Basketball Hall of Fame coach. You have legendary Sonny Smith, Coach Ronnie Arrow. You also have Richie Riley. And following the clinic, I do believe the tip-off is scheduled for 4:30 against Tuskegee. If you have younger kids, sixth grade and younger, you know, you purchase your membership there. You'll be able to bring your team in and watch Richie Riley burn the boats, literally, and get excited about this basketball program. Coach, there's a website that they can go to register if they want to pay their dues. I know on Twitter, the website on Twitter, AABC underscore, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's AABCHoops.com.
AABCHoops.com. That's how they can go to register on that.
Yes.
They can follow us on Twitter at AABC_Hoops. That's how you can follow on Twitter and get the updates throughout the year on what's going on. Just a wonderful organization and association. I'll be broadcasting live there next Saturday from the Mitchell Center, keeping everybody posted on how things are going. Coach Nyland, thank you so much for your time. And always your growth of not only high school basketball, but basketball in general here, not only along the Gulf Coast, but statewide.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. And again, thanks for what you do for the local sports and sports statewide. And, you know, Rick is one of the best color analysts for basketball in the state. Nobody knows that, but he does a great job for that. You know, I know he gets more accolades for football, but that's what Rick does a great job of.
Joe, thank you for that, pal. And I enjoy doing it. I love doing that, and it's a fun thing. But I'm going to tell you the things that bring me the most joy are the things that bring you the most joy, and that's seeing our kids become better, you know, preparing them to be future husbands and future daddies. And that's something that you have done an amazing job of for so many years, not only being a basketball coach with such success. I mean, it's just it shames me that I don't get out to watch you play and coach anymore than I do, but I certainly want to do that this year.
Well, appreciate it, Rick. And, you know, most of us coaches are in it more than just trying to win games. We know we're trying to build character.
And that's
always been a challenge, and a lot of good coaches helped us, and we're just passing it along.
You take care, pal. We look forward to seeing you soon. Take care. Boy, that guy's done an amazing job. He's just kind of one of the unsung heroes in this city as far as promoting basketball and doing the things that you need to do. Let's go to Scooter on the Premier Motorsports Communication line. Scooter, how you doing, pal?
I'm patient, Rick.
Good. That's good. Need to be.
You know what? I wish your radio station would carry some high school basketball.
Well, we've been, you know, that's just something that it's hard to pay for that, Scooter. It's just something, economics just don't pay for that.
In Indiana, every radio station carries high school basketball, don't they?
Yeah, they probably carry a lot. That's where Indiana's basketball country. It's
hard to move the Hoosiers.
Yeah, it sure is. It's a big deal in Indiana.
Corey, how you doing?
Good morning, Scooter. I'm doing wonderful. Always a pleasure to hear you.
I had a great birthday.
Outstanding, Scooter. And I was going to bring you that pizza, but you were out with your brother, so I'm still going to deliver you that pizza.
Well, I already got one, so.
Okay, I'll bring you another one, Scooter. You can always use extra pizza.
Is McGill going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, McGill's definitely going to make the playoffs, Scooter. It's just going to be a matter of what their seed is going to be.
I tell you, Wayne, the way UMass right is playing, I don't think anybody can beat them.
They're mighty good, Scooter. You know, we're talking about a team up in North Alabama that's good, too. North Jackson is mighty good. But I can tell you, they don't – at UMS, it's
Curtis is a Mobile Hall of Famer, Alabama Hall of Famer.
He sure is. He's in the Alabama High School Athletic Hall of Fame. He's in the Mobile City Hall of Fame, and he sure is. Well-deserved.
What's the one between Auburn and Ole Miss today?
Well, I hope Auburn does. I'm not much on – prognosticating, but I certainly hope Auburn does.
Alabama, Tennessee?
Alabama, you know, it won't be close.
I didn't think you would lose to Tennessee, but you did.
Well, it was not a very pretty game, I can tell you that.
Auburn, and this time Alabama's got to go to the nail in the stadium.
They do, but that's not going to be a problem, I can tell you.
Didn't they used to call Neyland Stadium Shields-Watkins Field?
That was Shields-Watkins Field. It sure was. And then they named it after the general. They sure did.
I tell you, when I think of Tennessee, I think of Peyton Manning.
Well, he's a good one. I'm surprised you think of Peyton Manning instead of John Ward.
Oh, John Ward is a great broadcaster. He also had a great guy from Alabama named Richmond Flowers.
He sure did. Played at Sidney Lanier High School in Montgomery. He sure did.
And then Alabama beat him 66-11-10. Didn't Tennessee miss the last three field goal by Gary Wright?
That's right. That was right. You're exactly right. Gary Wright did miss a field goal that day, and it cost him the ball game.
Here's your trivia.
Okay.
What was an Alabama-Tennessee 68 game unusual?
What was unusual about it?
It ended in a tie?
No, it was the first game ever played on AstroTurf.
On AstroTurf, that's right. You're exactly right, Scooter. That's exactly right, pal.
And Alabama, Mike Dean had his field goal blocked.
Mike Dean. We got a high school coach named Mike Dean. Coaches at Hillcrest in Hillcrest in Evergreen.
I want y'all to have a great week.
Thank you, Scooter.
You too, Scoot.
You want your Scooter pop?
Please do.
Woo!
All right, Scoot. Appreciate it, pal.
How about you?
Take care, buddy. And Scooter gave a great lead in, great segue there. Alabama is at Tennessee today. Corey, what do you think?
Well, I like the Crimson Tide. I know this much. Victory Cigars. People are.
You know who started
to,
that?
The athletic trainer. Is it Goostree?
Yeah, Jim Goostree and Ken Donahue started that.
In the 1950s.
Yeah, it was
as
big
a tradition.
Deal.
So yeah. The third Saturday in October is coming up, and I can never forget the third Saturday in October because my brother got married, happened to get married on the third Saturday in October, October 21st. And that's a date that I wanted to watch Alabama-Tennessee when it was a big-time rivalry back then.
So Auburn-Ole Miss?
I like Auburn today. They've got to find a way to get it done.
We'll be back with more PSR on the Camp Grace segment coming up. You don't want to miss that. We'll be back soon on PSR and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rappahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. We do want to mention one thing, and we missed David Norris this morning, and we'll certainly get him back on. I don't know what happened there, but we missed him a couple of times. I apologize for that. We'll certainly get David back on each and every Saturday. Also want to mention next Friday night, St. Luke's will travel to Millery to play in a huge 1A game, and that's a game that will determine, has a lot of playoff ramifications. And if you don't have a game to watch up in that area, you certainly want to go over to Millery and watch St. Luke's. St. Luke's got a great high school player that you'd love to watch, and Millery's got a mighty fine football team. We'll certainly keep up with that and let you know what goes on with that game as well. You know, I had an interesting conversation with a dear friend of mine this week, and he was talking, and he said, Coach, you know, the Camp Grace segment is something that is near and dear to a lot of our hearts, and the way Mark does it and the way you guys have done it for all 17 years that you've been on the air is something that's mighty special to a lot of us. And he says, you know, you did something one time about seven ways to equip your son for manhood, and if you would do that again, we did this about 10 years ago, and I certainly said, well, I told him I'd be glad to do that, and I certainly want to do that this morning. And I know Mark is out, and I know you all enjoy that the Camp Grace segment that Mark shares with each and every Saturday, and we want to do this morning with Mark being out. Seven ways to equip your son for manhood. As fathers, it's important that we keep a close watch on the ways we speak and behave, especially when teaching our sons how to be a man. Without realizing it, we are role models for our kids. Their minds are trained to observe behaviors, especially behaviors of those closest to them. They notice the way you treat and talk to their mother, your involvement in your community, how you handle a personal crisis, and how you deal with professional problems. It is said that children learn more what is caught rather than what is taught. Keeping that in mind, we have seven behaviors that we feel like that you can teach your son to equip them for manhood. Number one is be a gentleman. It's important for fathers to teach their sons to be a gentleman. This means teaching your son to have good manners. You can do this by teaching him to give people their full attention, teaching the importance of writing thank you notes when someone does something nice, teaching him to open doors for others, teaching him to always walk on the street side when he is with a lady, and lastly, teaching him to have a firm handshake while making eye-to-eye contact with those people that he's in touch with. The second is be respectful. It's important for fathers to teach their sons to respect others. This can be hard for sons to do because, let's be honest, your sons are not going to like every person they meet. However, this still doesn't give them an excuse to be disrespectful. Sons need to be taught to respect those who are in authority of them, not because of what they do, but because of their positions. The third thing is to be responsible. It's important for fathers to teach their sons to be responsible and to own up to their actions. We as parents do not always have to come to our own son's rescue. It is okay for fathers to let their kids fail because failure teaches them to take responsibility for their actions as well as their consequences. Be selfless. It is important for fathers to teach their sons to serve others because it is said that we make a living by what we get. But we make a life by what we give. Fathers can do this by encouraging their sons to help around the house, their neighborhood, and their community. Give your sons chores around the house. Encourage them to be blessings to their neighbors and have them volunteer at community service projects. The fifth is be generous. It is important for fathers to teach their sons the importance of being givers. Givers are value adders, and what father doesn't want their sons to add value to those around them? You can do this by creating three mason jars and writing on them saving, spending, and sharing. At the end of the week, when your son receives their allowance, have them distribute the money into these three jars. This will help them focus on giving while also teaching the importance of handling finances. The sixth is be different. It is important to teach our sons to be different. Most kids want to fit in, and there's nothing wrong with having this desire. However, if you want your son to become a great leader, one day you need to teach him that it is good to be different. To do this, he needs to feel accepted by those closest to him. Let your son know that you love him, not because of his performance, but because of who he is as a young man. And the final thing, and probably as important as the first thing, is to be honest. It is important for you to teach your sons to be honest. Honesty is the first chapter of the Book of Wisdom. So many parents are quick to punish and scold their kids when they lie, but few are quick to reward honesty. We need to change this because when honesty is rewarded, your son's confidence to always speak the truth will increase. Those are seven things that we think here at PSR will equip your son to be prepared for manhood.
And Rick, the thing that's very interesting is so much of this today's society, there's so many mothers who are raising sons.
Absolutely.
And are having to take that fatherly role as a single mom and are doing an outstanding job of that. But again, being a gentleman, you know, you have mothers out there who are teaching young men how to be gentlemen, who are teaching them to be respectful, responsible, selfless, generous, to be different and to be honest. And that's why I think that this relationship that we have at Prep Sports Report with yourself and Coach Lassiter and me is so different and dynamic, because being former coaches and current coaches of young men and making sure, I know in your classroom, I've heard many stories, not only of your current eighth grade history students, but students who have gone on to say Coach Cleveland makes sure that every single time in his classroom that the gentlemen are opening the doors for the young ladies, or making sure and teaching the young men in his classroom how to treat a lady. And you having a daughter of your own, you know how very important that is. And us raising sons of our own, we know how very important it is, Rick. So it's the little things that can add up. It may not come from your mother. It may not come from your father. Sometimes it comes from your coach or your teacher, and you take those values and you really, really take them to heart. And I know many of your former students have done that because they've shared that with me. I can remember when Coach Cleveland and made us open the door for the young ladies first, or made sure they sat down first before we did. It's just the small things that'll help them become better young men, and that's what we strive to do here on the show.
You know, Corey, that's very well said. And I think one of the things, and that's something that UMS Wright has taught me, one of the things that Dr. Wright really emphasized is a total person. That's why I believe it's, to me, and this is a personal opinion, it's the finest school I've ever been associated with, because it does. It teaches all about character and honor. And it's something that we all need. We all need that, and even as adults, we need it each and every day, and I'm thankful that I have the opportunity, just like Jay Cozio said, to work in such an outstanding school. Corey, thank you for being here this week, and each and every week, 52 weeks of the year, we miss Mark. Charlie, thank you for being here. Thanks, Philip, for being here. Hope you'll keep your prayers going for Mark Corson and his family and all the folks that are affected by Hurricane Michael. And remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you, and we hope to see you here same time, same place next week.